Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, everyone. Shalom.
All right, shalom.
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 All right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and let me copy some files over real quick to where they're supposed to go. Second here. Okay. All right, so I want to welcome everybody this evening. If anybody else calls in, then they can just catch up with us. Pray everybody's having a blessed day and a blessed week. We're going to go ahead and pray in and go ahead and get started with this meeting. All right, so let's do our statement of faith. So I'll make a motion that we bring this meeting to order. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. This meeting is officially in session. We'll do our statement of faith. We'll pray in. And then, Sister Mary, I will put the minutes up and you can read them from last week. I believe that all
okay.
All right, amen. Let me have you ladies to cover your heads. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3 verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach which strengthens me according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah to keep his commandments according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you on today, and we glorify you, and we lift you up. We magnify your name, O Yah Elohim. And we thank you for all your goodness and all your mercy and all your kindness toward us, Father. And we just want to give you glory and honor and praise, and to bring you glory and honor and praise by our lives, Father. Hallelujah. And we just thank you on today, Father. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For you are Elohim, and you are Elohim all by yourself, and there is no other. And so, Father, we just come together and we ask that you would be in this meeting with us and that you would guide us in all our ways. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Yah. All right. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. The book of Psalms, chapter 133. The book of Psalms, chapter 133, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Most High, a song of the degree of David. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descendeth upon the mountains of Zion. For there Yah commanded the blessing, even life evermore. May the Most High bless you to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, we will have the reading of the minutes from last meeting at this time.
Our last meeting was June 22nd, 2023. We started at 7 p.m. and it ended at 9:45 p.m. Attendance of the meeting was Brother Miles, Sister Denise, and Sister Mary. I think Sister Lucretia was there, so I'm not sure.
Yes, he may have been. I don't remember as well.
Okay. The discussion of the meeting was the microgreens. Last market, no powdered Michael Green's was sold. Brother Miles will be at the market on Friday, June the 23rd, 2023. The wheatgrass dried up and the sweet peas didn't germinate. Brother Miles had to change the balance of the trade. The USDA. Brother Miles talked to Kayla and she's sending information about the people that's going to do business with Brother Miles. He is still going to the markets on Friday. The bylaw. Section 1119. This section is tabled for now. Section 12.01. The contract garbage. Say that, Brother Miles.
Hold on, let me get to where you're at. Contract. Let's see. Oh, guarantor.
I still can't say guarantor. I'm trying. A male child that grows up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community is eligible for their own quarter or pod at age 18. A male child that comes into the community older than 13 years old must wait until they have 4 years experience in the community before being eligible for their own quarters. All females. They are to know the culture of the community. They contributed to the community. A family joined with a child 18, a family joined with a child 18 to 20, and a child comes into the community 18 to 20. Okay, that's all I had.
Okay.
So that's all you sent me.
Yeah, and I think those were just footnotes so that we would know what to go back and discuss this time. We didn't finish those areas last time. I'm going to make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read because, you know, that is what happened. The bottom half of this is just they were included so that we remember what we needed to discuss and what we were working on.
Right.
So I make a motion that we adopt the minutes as read. Do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. The minutes are adopted as read. Okay, so first order of business on this, well, I'll do it this way. I'm going to give an update. Went to the market last Friday. We will be going again this Friday. Last Friday we did sell some microgreens. It was a little bit slow at first and then we actually did start selling. And so it appears that the summer crowd is more so the permanent population around here. A lot of them didn't know that the market was going on. The market will stop sometime in July, I don't know when, for that this particular market, and then it will only be one on Wednesday, once a month on Wednesday, until September.
Okay, so the market will stop on Friday?
Yeah, the Friday market will stop sometime in July. I don't know the exact date.
Okay.
Because it's just getting too hot. So right now it is 102. I think next week, tomorrow is projected to be a 102, something like almost when we start. So it is just too hot. People will not come out when it's that hot. And we really probably shouldn't be out there when it's that hot. So we'll see what happens. The indoor market on Wednesdays, I just have to make sure that I am, you know, ready to make as many sales as possible by that time for the July market and then the August market and then the Friday and the Sunday's market should start back up in September. Even though it'll still be a little bit hot, it won't, you know, it'll start, it'll be hot for a couple of weeks, maybe a month, and then it'll start to cool down. At least it won't be as hot. At least I pray, because we can keep the heat, I've seen where we keep this over 100 degrees until November in some years. Kayla, I'm going to meet with her on the 6th of July. She sent me an email today. And so, and I'm going to, Sister Rachel, I'm going to open up your mic in case you want to say anything, and shalom to you.
Shalom, Brother Miles. How are you doing?
I'm all right. How about yourself?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
All right. Amen. Amen. All right. So you can mute yourself on your end if you want to say anything. If you're on the 516 numbers, your number, your mic is open. If you mute your end, if you have something to say, you know, just go ahead and unmute yourself. All right, so.
So when are you going to meet with Kayla?
I'm going to meet with her the 6th of July.
Okay.
And I'm trying to get back to her email that she sent me. So we're going to have a meeting at the community center, which is in Peoria here, where we met the first time. And on, she asked me, was the 6th or the 7th a good day? I told her the 6th because I try not to do anything other than the farmer's market on Fridays, so that I make sure I'm back, you know, to keep Sabbath. So I told her let's meet on the 6th. And then these community programs where there's networking between the black farmers and any other people of historically underserved communities. And so I am going to join that program and, you know, and it's just to share experience and to try to, you know, if anybody got approved, how they got approved, you know, to share it, you know, share the information. And then she's going to share with me the chef connections that she was going to share with me previously. He had to go back to them because it had been a minute since she had talked to them to make sure that they were still willing. And then she's going to talk with me about some funding opportunities that are opening up. That are available right now. And so I know the Rural Energy Advanced Program, you know, I still have to go up to the land and actually run a generator on the land. But a lot of the USDA programs, what they do is if you're not already doing it, they won't help you start it. But if you're already doing something, then you just show what you're doing and then they'll help you. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they won't do it from scratch. But if you're doing something, if you can show, hey, I go out here with a 5-gallon bucket of water and I water these roads, then they will help you put in an irrigation system. If I show that, hey, you know, I'm up here and I'm using this amount of electricity, then they will help you put, you know, electricity in, solar, that kind of stuff. So, you know, so about actually going up and doing something on the land, even if it's not effective, just so you can show and say that, hey, you know, I'm making an effort, then they will help. The programs that we applied for, I still haven't heard anything on those. Matter of fact, I'm going to go check right now because I didn't check today. Let's see here. Grants.gov. Give me a hot second to log in because I didn't check before this meeting. No, we're just keeping it in the Father's hands that he will give us favor in this, that eventually they will come back and say, okay, or tell us, you know, what we did wrong. All right, so we still don't have an agency tracking number, and the lady that actually is over this grant program, I haven't been able to contact her. So, you know, it is, as far as I'm concerned, that a lot of their programs, they're saying one thing, but They are really still not trying to help black farmers. They say they are, but, you know, I don't see that. And, you know, even my contact there said the same thing, that we've got to work the system. And so I'm going to be joining some other groups, networking groups, so that I can have more exposure. And then I'm going to get the names of the groups and the committees that she says that I should join so that I can have the exposure. Because a lot of times, out of sight, out of mind, if they don't know you, if they know you, then it's more of a chance that they may help. So I'm going to actually do that here. It's just been a little crazy. And so once I meet with her, then I will, you know, make it a point to add this to the agenda, to join them so that I can go and say, hey, these are the, you know, introduce myself, you know, and the owner of Yesteron Farms, and, you know, we're selling microgreens, specialty crops, yada, 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 and see if I can't make any inroads there, you know, while they're saying that they're trying to help those, the communities that have been historically disadvantaged or historically underserved, see if I can't, you know, make any inroads there by introducing myself and give, and putting a name, a face to a name, type of deal. So hopefully I will get that done in July. I'm also going to start, you know, been having a problem with the heat here in the microgreens. Half of the trays are not germinating, or they're germinating just in spots, and most, for the most part, the tray is not germinating, and I think it's the heat. Even though I have them in AC, that room, once the sun gets on that side of the house, can go up to over 100 degrees. And then I tried closing, you know, running the grow tent closed, and there's air conditioning being pumped through them. Still, the light, the grow lights generate a lot of heat themselves. So I decided that I would not close them off again, because when I went out there and opened them up this morning, and I had let them run, like, did I open up this morning? No, I think I opened them up yesterday evening, and they had been, you know, running with the lights on and the AC running in there. But it was, I opened up the tent, and it was just hot and humid in the tent, the grow tent. So I decided that I would not. I'll just let the outside air come in. You know, run the AC still. It's going to be blowing cool air, but it won't let the humidity and that stuff build up, because all the plants that were in that tent that were trying to grow, they just all fell down. Boom, just fell. So, you know, it's kind of going through austerity here with the challenges with the plant. I, you know, put in a new crop. I thought that they weren't going to germinate well. But what I did was I did not put them in the grow tent to germinate. I set them on the outside on a shelf, and just making sure that I check them every day and water them every day. Because typically in the winter, I don't have to do that. But in the summertime, with this heat and the evaporation, I think that may have been an issue also. So they seem to be doing better, germinating them outside the tent. And so I think I'm going to change the process where I turn off the light in the one tent and don't use it at all for to grow the crop. I just use it for germination, and by the time that they're ready to come out of there, then I'll move them over to the other tent. And it, even if it's a little hotter, as long as they, you know, maintain the water on them, they should, you know, grow well. They'll maintain, at least the ones that have already grown, they're maintaining. Where I wash my trays out outside, some seeds that didn't germinate. And I found that, you know, a lot of these microgreens, the full-grown plants, will grow in this heat. as long as they get water, and the full sun doesn't seem to bother them. As long as they're not getting full sun all day long. So the early, you know, the morning sun, they don't get any sunlight until afternoon, and they seem to be doing fine. I wash the trays out there. We fill the pool from that, you know, from that position. So there's always a little water going in that area, and the seeds went down, you know, between the rocks into the ground, and they're growing into full-grown plants, and the sun is not burning them up. So it seems like they will grow in this heat, but as microgreens, they don't do well with the heat. Kind of strange, but that's the way it seems like it's working. Maybe they're not getting enough nutrients because I'm not feeding them very many nutrients as a microgreen. They're supposed to just take everything that's in the seed and grow from that. But when they're in the ground, they may be taking some other things from the ground, and that may be helping them. I'm not, you know, I'm trying my best not to go back to growing in dirt because I don't want that added expense. I have dirt that I bought previously, but, you know, you can only use the dirt once to grow a crop. And so, and I'm only was getting about 3 or 4 grows out of a bag of dirt, whereas I'm up to like 15 or 20 grows using the screens, and the screens are still good. I think the first screen that went bad today. I saw a hole in it. I mean, I could still use it, just don't put any seeds in that little hole that's in the screen, and I could probably use it still. But the screens, you know, growing with the screens and just water has proven to be very economical. And, you know, the only thing is I believe that I'm having to adjust and make sure that, you know, I water them on the regular in this heat because the water will evaporate and cause them to dry out, the seeds to dry out. So, you know, I watered this morning. I watered last night. I watered them this morning. I'll water them again, you know, after this meeting or right before it turns dark or as it turns dark. And then they should be okay until in the morning. But it's, you know, taking more water with the way the room is getting hot and the water is evaporating out. So we can get a consistent, you know, and I'll document this so I can know next year when it comes back around, yeah, you need to increase the water and not germinate them in the one tent with any lights on. As soon as they are finished germinating, then I will move them to the other grow room or move them out and let them grow by natural sunlight until I can move them in the room. One of the things. But, we're, you know, we'll get it solved. Let's see what else. Hopefully we get these steps. And, you know, I'll see what their requirements are. I told my heart doctor, I had an appointment with him earlier in the week. And so I told him I would drop him some microgreens off. And then I'm going to drop off some at the credit union. Because I told the loan officer there and that I would drop some off just so they knew what I was growing, and then they may be able to help when it comes time to, you know, take a loan out or whatever. You know, so just creating those, but no, I can't take a loan, a business loan out with them. They have business accounts, but they don't do business loans. So maybe I'll take a personal loan or whatever. That's where we're at in that. What else? Is there anything else? I did say we made sales last Friday. We had live plants. I want to create a – I'm still thinking about for the powdered microgreens, thinking about the marketing on them. And, you know, it really only needs to be a couple of words. Only needs to be a couple of words. And I think what I'm going to do is say, if they tried to do live with the powdered microgreens are doing for them. You know, I could go as high as $120 for 4 ounces, because that is what the equivalent is in the fresh microgreens. The equivalent is, you know, we dry out about $120 worth of microgreens, but we're only selling it for $40. So I think that would be the selling, you know. And I think in the wintertime, I will go back, I will go up on the price maybe to $50 or $60. Once people are used to it, those that understand and eat a lot of microgreens, they didn't have a problem paying $40. Those that don't eat microgreens and don't understand, they have a problem paying $40. But we always make more sales when we have live plants. And so it's imperative that, you know, I keep a crop going all the time. Keep a crop going all the time. And then I need to communicate, especially when we are only going to be doing the Wednesday market, probably in July, because I don't know when the Friday market ends. Be doing a Wednesday market once a month, that, you know, I communicate that out to all the previous customers and say, hey, on this Wednesday in the month of July or August, you can, you know, come out and buy microgreens here, or we can, you know, deliver to you. You know, try to keep generating money, keep people informed. I was trying to update the website, I want to put a table on the website where you can go in and put in like a health issue, let's say inflammation, and then it'll come up and tell you which microgreens will address inflammation. Or I just made the flip, you know, with the wellness mix. The wellness mix actually addresses about 120 health issues. And 4 ounces will last you a month to give you all your recommended vitamins and minerals and nutrients, protein, plant protein. And it doesn't take a whole lot. It takes, you know, a very little. And it'll last a month. Whereas if you do it fresh, then, you know, the greens, microgreens in a fresh state will last about, depending upon what it is, anywhere from 7 to 10 days. Okay, 7 to 10 days. All right, so those are the updates. Go I'm going to share my screen. We were in section 12. Any questions on what I said so far? Did you get all that, Sister Mary?
I'm up with you.
Okay. Any questions so far?
I'm writing.
Okay. All right. So I'm going to share my screen, and we're going to continue to review the policy, and we ran section 12, and one of the first things that I want to change, and I want to base it on the scripture, where we were talking, let me get this, I didn't look it up yet, we were talking about in there that we were going to allow teenagers, after when they get turn 18, if they've been in the community for 4 years, or if they grew up in the community or have been in the community for 4 years, that they will be eligible to have their own pod at that point. I want to change that to 20 years old. And there's a reason for it. Yeah. Give me a hot second. Let me get into Exodus here and find this verse. I'm using the verse where the Most High, remember when they wanted to go over, they rebelled against Moses and Aaron, and the Most High killed, he made them walk, and he killed everybody that was 20 years old and older. Well, he didn't kill them. He caused them to walk in the wilderness for 40 years, and everybody that was 20 years old or older died in the wilderness. So it seems like the age of accountability is 20. So based upon that, I want to change that age requirement in our bylaws. So just a second. Go to the book of Numbers, chapter 14. Numbers, chapter 14. And we're going to be getting roughly around verses 20 through 29, somewhere in there. All right, now this is when they rebelled against Moses, and the congregation wanted to stone them with stones. Moses and Aaron, and because they didn't believe the report, about the promised land, and so they were going to rebel. So let's start about verse 20. And Yah said, I have pardoned according to thy words. Now Moses said, you know, don't kill everybody, okay? But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yah, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land, without any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and has followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Yah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless you shall not come into the land, concerning which I have sworn to make you dwell therein, said Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. So, from 20 years old and upward. So the age of accountability, the Most High held them accountable, who were 20 years old and older. So I want our bylaws to reflect the same thing. Even though the law of the land says 18, we are not going by the laws of the land. In anything that we do, if it seems to conflict with the laws of the Most High. So I want to change that wording in that in where we wrote that. Let's see, where was that at?
It was the first one.
Was it the first
one? A male child that grows up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own pod or quarter at age 18. It was the first
one. Okay. Do you remember what subparagraph that was? 12, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Not really. No, I don't, but I have changed it on my paper.
Yeah, it's actually 1. It's actually starting in 12.1.
Okay.
Okay, so let me bring up the page again, and let me bring up the And we're going to read this, okay, because I do want to change the wording on that, and I want to bring it, you know, to you guys and see what you think concerning this. Okay. Put on my glasses so I can read. So we are talking about contract grant guarantors. When, you know, if we have somebody that is not 21 years old come and join the community, they're going to require the permission of their parents or a guarantor. I think we said, 21? What age did we decide on? Anybody remember?
Yeah.
We had decided that anybody that was coming in, if they were a certain age.
That would be 20.
Well, 21 would still stand in that case. So a male child that grows up in the community having four or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarters, pods, at the age of, we're going to change that from 18 to 21, I mean 18 to 20. Anybody have a problem with that?
No.
No.
What about you, Sister Denise?
No.
Okay. And as I said, that's the lineup with the word of the Most High. That's what age he held them accountable. So if we use that, we should be good to go. Those that are 18 that don't like it, oh well. Those that are 19 that don't like it, oh well. They'll have to, you know, conform to the rules of the community. And I think that they'll be a little bit more mature than when they were 18 anyway. And then we have a male child that comes into the community older than 13. Must wait until they have 4 years experience in the community before being eligible for their own quarters. So in this, we may need to reword that as well, because if they got 4 years, they'll say, oh, I'm older than 14, I got more than four years experience. That only makes them, 18?
Well, they have to have 4 years, but they still have to wait 20.
No, 4 years, that'll make them 17.
Yeah, but they still have to wait till they're 20. So when they come in, okay, when they come in at, say, 18, right, or 17, and they have to wait 4 years.
Yeah, actually 4 years from 13 would give them 17. So we're going to change this from having 4 years experience.
Like eight?
Yeah, change it to that they have to be 20 years old.
Yeah, right.
If they're 20 before the 4 years?
Then they got to still wait till they got 4 years if they're not acclimated to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a male child that comes into the community older than, I don't think we need to put that in there. I think we can just say, rather than saying older than,
just say 13 years old.
No, we can just say younger than 20 years old.
Yeah.
Must wait until they have 4 years experience. So, No, I'm going to add to it.
Yeah,
I'm going to add to it. A male child that comes into the community younger than 20 years old. Hold on. Span 4 years. Experience. In the community.
Say older than 20 and less than 20?
No, less than 20 years old. So let me share my screen so you can see what I'm typing.
Right.
get back to that page. Good grief, where'd you guys go? Okay. There you are. Okay, let me know what you have. Go ahead and bring up screen sharing. Let me know what you can see. Sister Mary, Sister Denise, I have to know what you can see. I don't know. They're not answering, so I'm thinking that they can't. Sister Mary, are you able to hear me? Okay, I couldn't hear you, so I stopped it.
Oh, okay.
Let me do it again. All right, go ahead and bring up screen sharing.
Okay.
See that?
I am, would you keep moving?
Well, yeah.
Okay, it says, a member must have a the member in question is under 18 years of age or.
Let me,
am I reading the right one?
Yeah, I'm actually changing it in the, I was changing it in the minute, wrong place. But can you see the minutes now? And I'll just copy it over.
No, I see section 12.01.
Okay. All right, I'm going to stop sharing. Well, let me just copy this over. One moment, please. I hope this is the right area where it's supposed to go in. All right. Do you see that change I made? The 12.01A1.
Right.
Okay. So we're changing this to so this is the paragraph we're working on now. So this would be A1. This would be 2. I don't know why that jumped to 3. One moment. Let's see where it's. Okay. A male child that comes into the community younger than 20 years old. Yeah, it needs to be a 2. I don't know why it's not lining up with, maybe this one is out of whack. So that's one. Then when I do this, this will actually change to a two. Way over. Let me just bring it back to here. Okay, give me a hot second here. I have to redo these two together. Just going to throw the formatting off. Okay, so let me do this. Okay, let me just read number. All right, so that's the way that should work. And this should be... Okay. I'm in a minute. All right. A male child. I still think we're putting this in the wrong place. This is all about guarantors. Paragraph where we're talking about children. Maybe we were talking about right there, but.
So that's 0-1, right?
Yeah, but I think, somehow it seems like we're mixing apples and oranges.
That don't work.
No.
Now, my algebra teacher told me that.
And they didn't lie to you. So it has to be in 12. All right, we'll put it here for right now. I think we're going to end up moving it someplace else. So we're talking about contract guarantees, and the issue, and we may have gotten just totally off track here, or we may have went down a rabbit hole or something.
I know.
So we're going to go ahead and write it right here, and then if we need to move it, we'll move it. There's going to be a subparagraph of something anyway. This section is talking about member debt. And so I don't really think that what we're talking about now goes up under here.
Right.
But we are working on it. It must have been a concern. So we'll go ahead and we will write it, and then we'll just move it where we need to move it to or create a section for it. This is really talking about when children grow up in the community or when somebody comes into the community, want to join, and they're a certain age, as to whether they're eligible to receive a POD and whether they're going to need a guarantor.
Right.
So we'll continue what we were doing, and then if we need to move it elsewhere or put it up under a subparagraph or whatever and label it, then we'll do that. So let's just do it this. A member must have a contract guarantor if. Now, it is talking about conditions for needing a contract guarantor. So I think what we're going to do here, what we're talking about clearly don't go up under this, okay? But it can in a certain degree. But let's just finish writing it, and then we will keep what we need to keep up under here, and we will move this to another section. Like eligibility or whatever, because it seems like this is more so dealing with eligibility rather than guarantor stuff. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's say a male child that grows up in the community having 4 or more years experience, and that shouldn't be paragraph 2 there. Let me delete that. Are eligible for their own quarters or pod at the age of 20. So that's the age we have agreed upon. A male child that comes into the community younger than 20 years old with less than 4 years experience in the community must wait until they have. So it won't matter. If they came at 20, they wouldn't be able to get their own pod until they're 24. But we need to talk about that as well. Because if we're allowing people to come in when they're 21, be eligible to apply, if they're coming in as single, then this won't get it. because we'll be allowing somebody from the outside to come in and join the community at 21, and they may not have no experience. And they would have to, you know, become acclimated to the community. So let's talk about this. If we're saying that they have to be 21 years old to apply, then we also need to set up some type of orientation for anybody that's joining that's 21 years old and older. And we all got quiet.
I'm writing, Brother Matt.
Okay.
Cool. And I was thinking, what type of orientation?
Well, we're going to vet them. We have a vetting process. But even after they are vetted, they have to be orientated to exactly what the community requires, like some type of class or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Because, you know, we'll have all this in writing, but there should be somebody to actually train them on the culture of the community.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we need to talk about this because whatever we put in writing, we have to do. And I'm thinking that somebody comes and they're 21 years old. However they heard about the community. They want to apply. They go through the vetting process. Everything is okay. And then they still need to be taught. The culture of the community.
So they need to be able to have to do the 4 years too.
I don't know that we can. I don't think we can do that with them. Because they should be eligible for their own orders when they come there. This is what this is about.
Oh, okay.
Right, but they still need to know. It's like when we're doing the newcomers class on Tuesday. But I think that this needs to be something that the first 2 or 3 weeks or the first month. Go to a newcomers class. An orientation to the community so that they understand the bylaws, they understand the policies, they understand how the community is living. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They can get kind of an idea online, but the specifics they can't get. So
you're saying up to 20 years old or younger, didn't have to have like 4 years orientation or something.
If they're 20 years old, if they're 20 years old, yeah, we need to. If they're 20 years old, then I think we should just make them go through the orientation and not have 4 years experience.
Everybody comes in.
Well, young kids ain't gonna remember it.
Yeah. No. I mean, the crew comes in at age 20, 21, 45 or whatever.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying 21-year-olds. I'm saying if they are old enough to be assigned a pod when they come and they've been vetted, they kind of know what the community is about, but they won't know all the specific. Then they should need to go through an orientation. What do you guys thought?
Well, I think that if they're 20 years old or younger or whatever, I think they need orientation on the whole process without even giving them a pod or anything because they might not want to do it.
So, well, when we vet them, they kind of have an ideal. You know, that we're living by the statute, laws, commandments, those types of things, and you know, they're
that's
you know,
what I'm
the,
saying.
Yeah, they would already have they would have that understanding. because, you know, that much information is on the web. But then specifics about the community, like everything that's in the bylaws, they won't have. Everything that's in the policies, they won't have. And they need to be oriented on that. And so as far as the young children go and older teenagers, they can go through the orientation as well. But not the young children, but the if they're 15 or 16 years old, I would say if they are 20 years old and older, then they must go through the orientation. The children will get it by experience. And when it, you know, and we can have it when you get 20 years old, before you get your pod assigned to you, that you got to go through an orientation, no matter how long they've been in the community?
Well, I would think young people still have to go through it, too.
Not the young people.
No, when they become of age.
Yeah, when they become of age, yes. So let me re-explain this then. If they come and they are 20 years old and older, they must go through an orientation. We'll decide how long that's going to be. Where they understand and completely the bylaws, the policies, and all that stuff will be taught to them in some form of a class, or the member services officer has to go over it with them in depth, so that you know they have an expectation of everything when they are. When they are finding out about the community, when they're reading about it on the web, then the information that we have, wow, I'm through my throat here. The information that we have on the web is enough to let them know that, you know, we're going by the statutes, laws, commandments of the Most High. You know, we have all things equal and in common. So we all, you know, everybody's putting their money in one big pot, and that one big pot is what's paying the bills for everybody in the community. So that stuff is out there. But the specifics are not out on the internet as far as our policies and the bylaws and stuff. So I think when the children get of age, they'd be required to go through the orientation. And then anybody that's 20 years old and older, when they come, they're required to go through the orientation. They won't be required to do 4 years, have 4 years experience
go through the orientation.
Yeah, go through the orientation. Those, you know, if they are in the community, if they are, well, we can actually just say, we can actually cut out a lot of just this and just say, let's go up here back to the male. A male child that grows up in the community, having 4 more years experience in the community, are eligible for their own quarters and pods at the age of 20, and we're going to add it here. Must complete for you. A male child that grows up in the community having 4 or more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarter or pod at the age of 20 and must complete the newcomer's orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod.
That sounds good.
Okay, what do you say, Sister Mary?
Yeah, it sounds okay.
You sure? You didn't sound too sure there. Because they're not going to be eligible to get quarters until they're 20 years old. And then everything, you know, we're still going to give them, and you know, the do's and don'ts. But before they get their own quarters, they have to, you know, go through this orientation. Younger children, they will just get it by what, osmosis. Still have to, when they become of age, have to go through this training.
Okay. And how long is orientation going to be?
Unknown right now. Don't know how long that will be. Whether it's a month or two, 6 weeks, we don't know yet. We have to determine.
And this is for the ones that grow up in the community, right?
Any of them that you know, if they grew up in the community or whether they are 20 years old and older coming to the community. Because if they're 21, you know, we have already said that anybody can join at 21. So even those people, when they come, all newcomers will still have to go through what, the orientation?
Okay.
So it doesn't matter whether they are 45 years old or 60 years old. They will still have to go through the orientation.
Okay.
But we're just talking about what's the youngest age that they can get what, assigned their own pod, which would be 20. And so we can get rid of this 4 years experience. We can get rid of that.
Okay.
Now we got to talk about the female. We already said that no single female can have no single female. I can't say it like that. Some of y'all are already single.
Females who have a family that grew up in the pod. Families who have grew up in the pod stay with their family. Once you come in on your own, they have to be.
Yeah, no, we can't be discriminate. We can't discriminate that way. No, if they come in on their own, we gotta, because we're already saying that the young girls, we gotta put a time frame on when they can get their own too. Because we were saying that they should stay at home with their father. I know, but if they're coming in, and they're not coming with their father,
they're coming by themselves.
Yeah, so then there's got to be a way to handle that. There's got to be a way to handle that so that...
Maybe they can't have their own. Maybe it'd be like...
We can't. Yeah, we can't. I don't think we can do it that way. We need to talk about this. We need to talk this out. Because a single female coming... And we were more so thinking about the young females that grew up in the community, that they wouldn't get their own quarters, until they were married. They would be up under their father's house. But then you have single females that may want to join the community, and they're not coming with their father.
Right.
Not at any age. That. Yeah, that could be at any age older than 20.
Yeah.
But as an adult, I mean, you know, or anybody like that, say, hey, where your daddy at?
I'll tell you deceased.
So we got to think this out, okay? And as far as growing up in the community, their parents are there. I don't know if I want to put that restriction there either. Well, let's talk it out. When you talking to them, I told you.
Well, I think, Brother Miles, that
keeping the same as the male. If you don't want to be discriminative and anything like that, keep the same as the male.
Well, I'm trying.
feel that they shouldn't be able to get a partner unless they marry.
But who they gonna stay with? Who they gonna stay with? Okay, let's say we got a 21-year-old female that wants to join. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not married.
Yeah, she has to go through orientation too.
Yeah, I mean, they would all have to go through orientation. But right now, the way we had talked about this last week, they could not have their own quarters until they got what, married. Other than that,
married,
they stay in
right.
their father's house.
Yeah. Because what if their father and them wants to leave and they want to stay, you know?
Yeah.
See, that's going to be kind of hard because a lot of them don't even know who their father is, Brother Miles,
yep.
number
they
one.
Their mama.
Well, and
like
we,
I said, they all need to go through the orientation training so they'll know what to do and what not to do.
Yeah, that's a given.
So just keep it the same age as a boy. I mean, if you can, have it the same as a boy.
Well, I'm trying to address the scriptures as well. And it's not the same for girls and boys in the scriptures. I'm talking about discriminating between young women and older women. So I'm talking about. Because...
Well, older women, life experience come in and they...
Yeah. You got to let, you know, we can't try to control everybody, but we got to have, we got to stay within the scriptures. So, but we need to talk this out. Because I don't want to have, we're going to have some single females that are in the community, and starting off, it's probably going to be the vast majority are single females. That's the way it seems right now.
There's going to be all females and no male. There's going to be females that come with female children, but no male in the house. So there's no father.
Well, then they would stay in their mother's house.
Yeah.
I mean, their house. I mean, that's a given.
I know, but it's their father's house.
Okay, so what if the female come by herself without a mother and without a father? Then what?
That's what we're talking about. She's a single female. She is. See, if they're coming out of the world, or if they're coming even out of a camp, their father's not going to be coming with them.
Okay.
And so.
Well, I have something like any town. But
what the heck is any town?
Males come in and they find them wives, a wife, through that, so they get the power, they go in with the wife. They may choose.
I ain't trying to force nobody to get married either.
No, I'm just saying, you might, once at once, they may be eligible, ready to get married, and whoever's ready to get married, that's how it'll be.
Unless you're going to have a section where it's just single female. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, the quarters would be, I would never have a pod that has, as a roommate, you know, we can have two-bedroom pods. For single people, but it would be two single males together or two single females.
Mm-hmm.
So you would never mix a male and a female in a pod and say, hey, yeah, you know, no.
Well, you might have sections like female side, male side, but not in the same vicinity, maybe? Like one side of the man, other side of the man, I don't know.
No, can't do that either. Because we got to be able to, you know, if that's the case, the males are going to the outside. If we did it like that, and the females would go on the inside, because we would want to be able to
monitor
and protect security.
It don't want to be outside and inside. It used to be a different section of the net, you know what I mean?
Most of these pods are circular. So let's think about this. Or we, you know, we can do some brainstorming.
Okay, those pods, they get, will they be able to move family in with them eventually? I mean, they have family in those particular pods, or they have to find a different pod?
We'll probably have to find a different pod.
Okay. So if they're single, then like they just pod here, no, right? Or pod. There's pods over here for the males, single males, positive females. Then they have an area of family pod.
I mean, I can see that working. I would, I can see that working. I think that the way this is, and especially the way this world is now, and who we would probably be getting, we would probably have to set up, just like you said, family areas, or you know.
Then you got to consider if the single female got children.
Right, and you know that's already a situation already.
That would be
on the family side. Because she has a family, you know, she got children already. So yeah, we have to hash this out.
Okay.
What?
If they have a family already, children already, and they come in, like say they divorced their husband, or they left their husband,
they never have a husband.
How would that be with them coming in, as far as newcomers, rules?
It would be according to the law, whatever's in the law.
Yeah.
But, and they would have to know that before they came in. You know, what is your situation? Because some of them may not want to come in and live by those laws, and they'd be like, hey, I'm going to stay on the outside because, I can get married or do whatever. Yeah.
Brother Miles.
So, yes, ma'am.
Do you mind if I say something real quick?
No, go ahead.
So from what I'm hearing is if someone is 21 and older, they would have to take the 4-year orientation. But if they're younger, like say if they were like Elijah's age, like 15, 16, 17, 18, then they would not have to do the classes, but just wait until they're 21. Correct.
They would more so get it in time, but when it actually came time for them of age to move out, then they would have to take
mm-hmm.
it, you know, and be, you know, sort of graded on that course, taking
mm-hmm.
that orientation.
Okay.
But you would think that, you know, because the family, the parents and that kind of stuff are giving them what the rules are,
mm-hmm.
you can't do this. So, and there would be an initial orientation for everybody anyway. You know, this is the community. They would have it in writing, but before they moved out on their own, they definitely would have to go through orientation.
Mm-hmm.
So, that is what we're saying. So if you let's say that somebody was over 21, they joined. They have to take the orientation. I don't know how long that orientation is going to be yet.
Right.
Because there's a lot, you know, there's a lot to this. But before they're ever accepted, they already understand the financial obligation and the overall. I won't say the rules, but they understand the overall concept of the community, where, you know, they're coming in and they are becoming a member of a community that everybody has all things equal. So whatever they're making, it goes into a general fund, and then the general fund pays, you know, for the housing, the electricity, the water, the food, and all that. And then they have to, you know, they'll contribute labor-wise in some way to the community, whether it's helping to maintain the electrical grid or to farm or, you know, whatever the case may be, wherever they're needed at.
Right.
Because we are remote and everybody has to pitch in and help do everything. So, you know, you can't say, well, oh, that's not my job.
Mm-hmm.
I don't do that. It's a matter of, you know, somebody could be sick So there are some survival trainings that I have that everybody has to do as part of the community, you know, being able to survive remotely. We don't, you know, there's no hospital close by. So if somebody gets cut or hurt, we got to be able to handle that.
Right.
Everybody has to know, you know, certain level in a lot of different disciplines because it's about survival. And then there are the main jobs, you know, that have to be done on a daily basis that, you know, people are trained and assigned to. And then there are the, you know, the rules of behavior, what's expected. So if they think that they're going to come smoking dope and drinking, you know, and getting drunk all the time, they'll find out real quick before they're even allowed to come, they're told that they can't, that, you know, it's not allowed in the community. That makes sense, Steve?
Yeah.
What about for you, Sister Rachel?
I'm sorry?
I said, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yes. Yep.
Okay. So that's kind of, you know, the general, before they're ever accepted in the community, there are some general things that, you know, that people are told. And you know, certain behavior that is going to be expected. But I wanted to know everything. And so when they go through the orientation, then the orientation will take them through the bylaws, and the orientation will take them through the policies. You can and cannot do this. Yada, yada, yada. So those are, you know, the different things. And the vetting community, the vetting committee, committee that's put together to vet people when they apply to let them know do they have the finances or how they're going to contribute financially to the community, what skill set, because all these things are important. We are remote. There is no hospital around. There's no grocery stores around. Well, maybe within 30 miles there are. So we are basically on our own, and, you know, everybody has to genuinely care about everybody, because if we don't, we won't survive. It has to become like a family and like a community, but our standards of living are the commandments of the Most High, not the standards of this world, not the standards of the United States of America. So, you know, it's already, even on the website, it already says, you know, the LGBTQ lifestyle is not conducive with our lifestyle, and it won't be accepted in the community. So you can't come in saying, hey, I'm a lesbian, or I'm a fag, and I practice this, and I want to join your community. No, you don't. You can't come in, you know, and even down to a lot of our people, especially the young ones, but some of the old ones, we have to look and see what is that about, and have they repented, have they changed? Because if they got a felony for a murder, oh, well, I'm sorry, but I know, you know, you may be trying, but you already shown the propensity to kill someone, and that might not be a bad thing because it may come down to a time when we need that. But, you know, we have to screen people and prey on them and vet them financially, criminally, because, you know, it's going to be hard enough as it is, and so we don't want to just invite mess from the start, even though, you know, you're going to have people are human, so you can expect some things to happen. But you just have to handle it when it happens. But, you know, if they're not trying to live by the statute, laws, and commandments of the Most High already, that's going to be like that's a red flag right there, probably a stop in the beginning, because if they already have not trying to live by those standards. And I'm not, you know, to me the standards are very clear and the standards of the Most High are very clear. I don't even want to get into discussions on a lot of those things. If it's written, that's what we're going by.
You're
talking too low. You got to talk to everybody.
I came up with something with the girls. Even though they're in their own, in a pod, separate from their family, they still are under their families. You know what I mean?
Well, that's one instance. Right? That covers those that's in the community and they grew up in the community or they came with their family.
Mm-hmm.
Once they reach a certain age, then they may want to go out on their own. What we have to do is make sure that it don't become where all the young kids run around trying to fornicate.
We can't babysit them, but still, I know we babysit them, but make sure they don't. But they'll find a way.
Because if they're caught, the penalty is severe.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have to understand it how.
Right. That's right.
Penalty is tapped.
Yeah. And they gotta honestly believe that, and even if we can't kill them, hey, you gotta go. Can't stay here.
Oh, we can kill them.
No, don't say that.
You want them to die.
No. For the simple reason, there are certain things you don't want in, you know, let me take responsibility for that. We don't want to, certain things we don't want to say out loud, even though the law calls for what? Calls for death? Then it may be that, hey, they just have to go.
Yes.
So, but they have to understand that those types of transgressions just won't be tolerated. So if it's a matter of, you know, you got to go. Can't stay here. And you got to go. We don't care where you go. But you can't stay here. So, you know, it's got to be to that degree. And anything other than that. Because anything that calls for death in the scriptures, we're supposed to exact that, and that's the penalty, but, you know, it may have to be that, hey, you're dead to us, so you got to go.
You know, yeah, like in let people roam, kill them, but they roamed in the wilderness and died for 40 years. So that would mean we take them.
They got to go.
Yeah, they
got to
go.
So they have to know that it's that serious. You no longer exist in immunity, and you have to go. If you're caught doing this, if you're caught breaking these laws, if it calls for this, because in the New Testament, it doesn't say put them to death. It just says you don't have anything to do with them at all. So, and maybe I need to go and teach that so that we understand that that's probably as far as we can take it today, is to say, hey, you no longer can stay here, and you can't be associated with the community.
Will it be family
kind of
people?
No.
And that should be explained when they come in.
Right. It'll be explained when they come in. No, you don't do the whole family. The whole family didn't sin. Now, the whole family may leave if their daughter is 15 or 16 years old and, you know, she let some young boy talk her into, but see, it won't just be her, because he would have to go too.
But, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know how people be getting. It's just like when they said they caught the woman in adultery and they brought her to Messiah. They said they caught her in the very act, right?
Right, but she couldn't have been doing it by herself.
Right, but they didn't bring the man, did they?
Nope.
They only brought her. So, you know, have to make sure that we are even-handed. So if they are caught, the boy and the girl, they both have to go. Because we just can't allow that, those types of things.
So, Brother Mike.
Go ahead.
Where is this going to be held at? What What state?
The community?
Yes.
It's in Arizona.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Okay, it's in Arizona. So, you know, those are the things. So I think in this, as we have talked this out, I think we can use the same age for single women as we're talking about single men. We definitely have to make sure that we have, what, separate pods. And that the community, everybody in the community understands that, you know, there's one thing, courting someone, pursuing them, male or female, male pursuing. But they have to understand clearly that if they take it to the next level, then
that's a no-no.
That's a no-no. And, you know, by the scriptures, as long as she's not betrothed to anybody, then if they're of age, then they're now married. And we'll go through that that process. But if they are promised to someone, then both of them, the girl and the boy, would have to go. If they're not promised to anybody and they do that, then they are now married. And if he says he don't want to marry her, then, you know, we have to actually judge it. If she's complicit in it, then hey, you both got to go. If she says no, he raped me, then that's a whole nother thing. And see, and we have to do our due diligence, because we don't want somebody out of fear. They were complicit in it, but now they got caught. Now it's they raped me.
I think they should be scared.
They should be scared. But you know how I know how the girls was when I was younger. Talk to them and tell them what they want to hear and rub all on them, and next thing you know. Or are we supposed to be dating? You know, ain't nobody going to know. I mean, it happens. And we want to make sure that it's understood that if it happens and you get caught, the penalty is severe. Does that make sense? Because boys and girls will be boys and girls. So they got to have the standard, the understanding that, you know, it. Don't take it that way. Don't take it there. So, young man, don't be defiling the women. Young women, don't be letting yourself get defiled. I hope that's clear. Okay. So, as far as the females go, I think we can do the same thing. So we don't even have to distinguish between male and female if that's the case. If we're going to use the same standard for the females, then
we do the males that way, they know how to conduct themselves.
Yeah, I mean, as far as them being eligible for their own place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think about, you know, we're still dealing with this is a, so we're just going to say I'm going to change this from a male child to.
Male or female.
Just there's a way to say that without even saying it.
Individuals who grew up in the community and young individuals who grew up in the community.
Yeah, let's just All right, so you see how I changed that?
Children.
That children are male or what?
Male
and female?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They grew up in the community, having 4 or more years experience in the community, are eligible. And we're going to say it like this.
4 more years of age.
Young adult. Thank you. So you're no longer a child.
Yeah, when you're 19, 18, I would consider you ain't no child when you pass 16. Yeah, well, you're doing it before then. Young adults that grew up in the community having 4 more years experience in the community are eligible for their own quarters or pods at the age of 20 and must complete newcomers orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. And then we'll say...
Well, what section is this? This is not 12.01, right?
Yeah, we're still in 12.01.
Oh, okay.
We might move this stuff from 12.01, but that's where we're at right now. Paragraph 2, we got to change it. A young adult or a teenager that comes into the community younger than 20 years old with less than 4 years' experience in the community must wait until they have 4 years' experience. I don't think we need this right here. Yeah, all of this will fall up under if they are read paragraph 2, everybody, and tell me if you think we need that.
Young adult or a teenager that comes into the community younger than 20 years of age with less than 4 years experience in the community until they have 4 years experience.
Yeah, I don't think we need that for a simple reason that we're saying that I think we need that for the simple reason that when they turn 20, if they want their own place, they still got to go through the orientation?
Orientation. Right.
So we don't need this right here. We don't need this specific to females.
Connection, Brother Miles. So forgive me for jumping in and out.
Okay. I'm not looking at the screen, so I can't see when you lose connection right now.
Okay.
Okay, my bylaw.
No, ain't no over age.
No, I know, not over age. So what I'm saying is, 20-year-olds come in, they have this. But what the people in a...
Anybody coming into the community, I don't care how old they are, have to go through orientation. So we're not putting an age limit on when they can come in. Or, you know, a
no,
max
not
age.
No, not a max age. Well, the orientation, you know, people come in at 20, people come in at 35, 45?
Yeah, that's what I just said. I don't care what age they are.
No, I'm not saying that a lot of them come in.
No, I'm saying they got to go through the orientation.
I understand. Everybody got to go through and understand what it's about.
So what are you saying when they come in at 35 or 40? I'm not understanding the significance of that.
Well, I'm back up. I was just saying, for some reason, my mind is still on the fourth year. That's probably why.
No, the orientation. First of all.
How long is orientation?
Don't know yet.
Okay.
Don't know yet, because that's something we have not talked about. We had not developed this yet. So the orientation, the member services officer would be responsible for that. And they would have to come up with, you know, some type of course material that goes over the bylaws, goes over the policy. And I don't want to just leave it up to, we say, here's the bylaws, here's the policy. And because they're going to be required to sign that, I don't want them to sign and say, hey, I read this. It's not good enough.
Yeah, like a workbook type of
thing. Yeah, a workbook,
yeah.
And then they, over a period of time, they would be tested on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, it's already a given and it understood that everybody would be going to Sabbath class and those types of things. And a lot of the laws and that kind of stuff will be taught in Sabbath class, but you got to understand how we're applying them in the community.
Yeah. Well, the children who's been in there for a while will already know all of that.
Right. And, you know, eventually we'll have to have somebody holding like a children's class. Because the children don't need to learn the scriptures, a lot of the scriptures, at the level that the adults need. They need to learn the laws and stuff, but there are certain things that, well, I guess they can go back to their parents and ask. But I would still want some type of class oriented to 4, 5, 6 years old. You know, or when kids start going to kindergarten, like 6 years old?
No, 5.
5 years old, then, you know, there should be classes that are oriented, that, you know, that are at their level.
Mm-hmm. You have a curriculum for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy enough to do. It's easy enough to do, but, you know, those things have to be put in place.
It'll be easier to teach the kids than it will the 20-year-old.
For real. Or the 40- or 50-year-old that have been doing stuff the same way for all their life.
Yeah.
All right, so let's continue here. Newcomers orientation training before being assigned quarters or a pod. Yeah, well, that's another whole other section. So I'm gonna take this number 2 out for right now. They know the given that they got to know what we're doing is because the orientation is gonna give them what the culture of the community.
Right.
So I'm gonna take that out for right now. So now we've got a situation where a family joins with children less than 18 years old. Then it should be the responsibility of the parents to teach the children.
Yeah.
Okay. I see Sister Denise called in over here. All right, Sister Denise, you called in on the 516 number. Sister Denise.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Brother Miles.
Yeah, I can hear you.
I keep getting kicked out for the internet, so I called in.
Right.
I don't know why it keep kicking me off. It said my modem need reset.
Okay, so you just need to unplug it for about a minute and then plug it back in.
Okay, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to stay on the call.
Okay. Okay, so a family that joins with children less than 18 years old, then the parents should be responsible for teaching their children?
I would think so, yeah.
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 Type that in there. How does that paragraph read to you? Paragraph two.
Okay.
Okay, so let me read that for the people who are on the phone. This is paragraph two, Sister Denise. A family, not that word that needs to be in there, that joins with children are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and to ensure they participate in the community activities that contribute to the good of the community.
Sound good.
Okay, for you, Sharon?
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Sister Mary?
Yes, it sounds good.
Sister Rachel? Let's see.
Mm-hmm. I'm here.
Did you hear that reading of that paragraph, Sister Rachel?
No.
Okay, it says a family that joins with children are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community, ensure they participate in community activities that contribute to the good of the community.
Okay.
How does that sound to you?
That sounds good.
Okay. All right, so we have... that I don't think we need three.
No, because it's pretty much going to read the same thing.
Yeah, so we don't need three here. I don't think we need four either. Well, we may need it. I don't know why that lined up there. Because this is dealing with older children coming into the community.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm going to change two to read this way so we can get rid of three. All right, so I'm going to change that. I'm going to change two and get rid of three. A family that joins with children or young adults less than 20 years old are responsible to teach their children the culture of the community and to ensure they participate in the community activities that contribute to the good of the community. So if they got children that are 18, 19, 17, they are what, responsible?
Yeah.
And when the child turns 20, when the child turns 20, then they have to take the what, orientation anyway?
Right.
Okay. And so we're going to get rid of three as well. Now, I'm thinking that there's more to this than this right here. As I said, I think we're mixing apples and oranges right here. I think to stay in context with this, so let's do this. We should have a three here. So then we're going to say,
what?
Your fire alarm chirping in the background.
Huh?
I know you have it in a cage like a little bird. Okay, so young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily. We might have to figure out another way, a better way to word this, but. How do we want the young adults to, what do they need to demonstrate in order to be able to, have their own quarters? Because once they move out on their own, that, you know, then it's like they still have to what? They have to contribute monetarily?
Right.
Socially?
But orientation should take care of all of that because they should know about them.
Right, they should.
Because they can't get the part unless they understand fully what they're doing.
Right.
And y'all excuse me, I'll be right back.
I'll wait till Sister Mary comes back. We'll read this and we'll stop here for this evening. Okay. Sister Mary, you back?
No.
You didn't think she was going to bathroom?
What?
I said, just going to get some water. I don't know.
What? Let me know when you're back, Sister Mary.
You must have to go pay a water bill.
I don't know that long. I think it's the sewer bill. Wait on her, and then we will read this last paragraph I wrote, and then we're probably going to move this. I can see adding a 4 to this now. I'm going to add a 4 here. I'm not going to complete it.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
Okay, I added I'm going to read this last 2 paragraphs that I added. All right, so paragraph 3. Young adults must demonstrate that they are financially responsible, willing, and capable of contributing to the community, both monetarily, socially, and fully understand of the community as far as its philosophies and doctrines. And why is that not Ms. Bell? If young adults are not able to demonstrate financial responsibility, they must have a guarantor.
Okay.
So let's say their parents say they can move out, but they can't demonstrate that they are financially responsible, then their parents are going to have to take responsibility for them.
Have to take care of them.
Right.
Yeah.
How does that sound to you, Sister Denise?
Sound good. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. So we are going to stop right here. We're not going to vote on any of this yet. We will pick it up right here next week. So I make a motion that we adjourn the meeting right here. Second.
I second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? The ayes have it. I'll pray us out, and then this meeting will be officially adjourned. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Father, in the spirit of humility and humbleness, Father. We thank you for your guidance on today, Father, and we thank you for all that you do for us. I ask you to bless each and every person that is a part of this meeting, and that you look after their needs, Father, and that you bless them in a special way for the will to do your will, Father. And you show how much they express his name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we will pick this up on next week. Let me save this document right now. And I'm going to reread the rest of 12. 12 is large, and I don't think, I think we may adopt some of this out of 12. Because when we have people coming as part of the member services duties, I'm going to read this, see how much of it to me makes sense. As far as, you know, how we're moving forward, I think I may take section 12 and email it to everyone so that you can pre-read it too.
Okay.
And then we will discuss this on next meeting. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So hopefully we can move through it a little bit faster. So I'm going to do that right now. I'm going to copy it into a new document. Let me copy this into a new document and I'm just going to put in a notepad document. Everybody should be able to open that on their computer. Now let me put it here. me email this out to everybody real quick. Okay, you should have that in your email now. So if you'll review Section 12 before the next meeting, I'm going to review it, and then we will talk about what parts of that we can keep and what parts, you know, we don't think apply. All right, with that being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. Until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do, but I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep the commandments, saints. Shalom, my sisters, and see you guys on tomorrow. For Shabbat.
Just a man. what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, just without you there's no need. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, pray that I never fall away. Yahoo.
Shalom, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, everyone. Peace and blessing, my sisters. Have a blessed evening. See you guys tomorrow.
All right.